get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
And now, the fastest hour in paranormal talk radio. Welcome to the Mallard Report. The opinions expressed on the Mallard Report are those of the host and participants. They're not intended to, and do not necessarily reflect opinions of any simulcast radio networks or sponsors. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The paranormal talk radio show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't want to see. It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report.
And now your host, Jim Mallard.
Welcome to the Mallard Report. My guest tonight is, my guest tonight on the MIPsychicApp.com hotline, we were just talking about cheesy promos, and there's another one. Actually, I kind of like that one because it paid some bills, so I guess I shouldn't be complaining too much, is Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm great, Jim. How are you? And thank you for having me on tonight.
Well, thank you for filling a hole. I'm not going to lie, I don't want to say you weren't first choice, but you have been on my list for a while, but it just happened to be sooner or later than Raider on this occasion. But that's how, you know the business as well as I do. That's how this goes sometimes.
You know what? You have to be prepared, and you always have to have one in the bank, and I'm glad I could help you out tonight in a pinch, because that's what we got to do for each other.
Yeah, sometimes you look at it going, this just isn't going to work. Or anyway, so we're not going to belabor and beat too many people up too well, too hard. But okay. So Dave, tell me about your show. Let's get that out of the way first, I guess. Let's talk about your show for a minute.
Well, on November 30th, which is this coming Monday, we will celebrate our first anniversary on Spaced Out Radio. And how it really got started was 4 years ago, I started having some personal experiences that really upset my happily boring life. And in the last 4 years, I have had experiences with the paranormal, supernatural, Bigfoot, extraterrestrial, and ufological. And I couldn't find the answers that I was looking for to the experiences that I had. And I had a friend of mine who used to have his own podcast say, dude, why don't you get back on the radio? Because I got my degree in broadcast journalism. I spent 10 years in mainstream radio. And when I left radio 8 years ago, I said, I'm never coming back. There's no big deal. So I hemmed and hawed about it, and it wasn't at the top of my list to do. But when it came down to it, and the answers to the experiences that I was having personally just weren't there, I figured, you know what, I have to do something about it, because if I'm not getting the answers and the results that I need, I'm sure I'm not the only one. So what we did was we started up Spaced Out Radio on November 30th of last year. We launched it, and we just started emailing people to get things going. And the results were outstanding from the people who were asking to participate. And it's just kind of taken off, and it's been a great ride for 1 year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're kind of more crazy than me, because you've been doing this 5 nights a week for almost a year now. So what's the deal with that?
You know what? We wanted to do it a little bit differently, and I really felt I couldn't get the message out by doing it one day a week. And I'm the type of guy where I am either go big or go home type attitude, and it's probably not the right attitude to have at times, but you know what? I have a lot of fun with it. And Jim, I'm very vocal about my own personal dealings on the air. I am someone who suffers from depression and anxiety, and I'm very vocal about that because a lot of people don't talk about it. It's one of those things we're not supposed to talk about. And the one thing that I have noticed is since I started this show, my depression and anxiety has actually improved so much that I no longer even have to be on medication for it. because I use this radio show combined with the experiences that I've had as almost a type of therapy for me. And I've had a lot of listeners say that they have that too, and that they're experiencing that as well. Because when you're into these types of situations, whether it's ufological, spiritual, psychic situations, a lot of people, believe it or not, suffer from depression and anxiety. And one of the things we're able to do is we're able to talk about it. Not so much the disease of depression and anxiety, but the ability to explain the situations that they're in, the sightings and experiences that they're having. And the more we all talk about it as experiencers, the easier it is to cope, which makes the depression and the anxiety calm itself down mentally.
Yeah, I think it is interesting to see how people change through the paranormal. I don't want to say grow. I don't want to say, because you, I mean, you were talking about depression. I think that's a major issue. So I just, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat it too much or too easily. But some people change for the better. Some people change for the worse, and other people just change. So, like you were saying, through the show, I could see all the different angles. I can pick and choose and talk to different people about where they are on the, I hate the word journey, but that's how it comes off across most of the time. So in the year of doing the show, what is the, I don't want to say the most important thing you've learned. That sounds too cheesy and too hokey for this kind of question. But has there been that moment where the lights have come on and you can see that because, I mean, obviously, because of doing the show, your stories have been, I don't want to say validated, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but more understood for sure.
Yeah, they have been more understood. And probably the biggest message that I have learned is that there's a lot of people out there who are in worse shape than I was. I wasn't very upset about it. But the one thing I was doing when I was having my experiences and not finding the answers to the questions I had was I didn't have the fortitude to come out, because these are topics that you just can't talk to anybody about. You can't talk to your coworkers. You can't talk to your family. You can't even talk to sometimes your best friends, let alone maybe if you have a wife, a husband, a partner of some sort. Okay, because there is a lot of ridicule that goes along with it. There is a lot of people saying, well, geez, maybe you need to go to a psychiatrist. And you know what you saw. The benefit that I had with the experiences that I had was that, I'm going to not even BS you here, 98-99% of the experiences I had a witness to. And I was lucky to have that witness where I could talk to them about it and say, you saw what I saw. Were we crazy? Were we imagining it? And the answer was always no. And being a former journalist, every time you have an experience, well, the unfortunate part about it is the experience is short. But the thousands of questions that pop into your head afterwards are infinite, and they are hard to answer because there is no answer to it. And we know the answer is out there because we wouldn't have seen what we've seen. But to find that answer is the difficult part. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle in this area, because you just can't go up to your coworker or your boss and say, hey, guess what? I got abducted by aliens last night. Or, hello, I was out in the bush the other day, and there were two Bigfoot on my hiking trail. What's the first thing they say? You're crazy. And that's not fair to a lot of people. So what we try and do is we try and keep that door open, and we say to them, we believe you. Because that is a very powerful statement when we are dealing with the topics that we are dealing with on Space Out Radio on a nightly basis. And as long as people know that we're in their corner, they know they have a place to go where they're going to be able to find that support.
Okay, so I want to reintroduce you, because apparently I was a little low earlier, which doesn't surprise me, because as many people who know, follow me on social media, know that I spent the weekend rearranging my house. So in turn, that means I rearranged the studio. So now I'm blowing through everybody because, you know, I made the adjustment too far. But that's okay. We can work on that as the show goes on. My guest tonight is Dave Scott from Spaced Out. Where can people find Spaced Out Radio?
They can find us at spacedoutradio.com. All you have to do is go on the website, click Listen Live. We go live at 10 p.m. Pacific on Monday through Friday. We also have a weekend show called Spaced Out Weekend with host James Tyson that goes Saturdays and Sunday nights. Everything is on our website where you can just click listen live when it comes close to showtime. It'll take you right to our broadcast center, and there's a chat room available. It's a lot of fun. We try and be as interactive as possible, whether it's via social media like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We try and get our name out there as much as possible, so that way our audience has the ability to pretty much listen every night they can.
Yeah, that's the. I think it's great that you're going nightly. I've told you this personally. Much respect for doing that. I can't believe that anybody is that insane, but that's.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't do it, and I would have no problem walking away from it if my wife wasn't 100% behind me. In fact, there are days when I say, because I have a daytime career, I don't talk about my daytime career, but I have a daytime career that I do. I have a cushy desk job, you know, that the type of situation where you don't talk about this type of stuff. And I come home, I spend 2 hours with my family, and then I go right into the studio to start prepping for that night's show. And I get tired. I'm not going to lie. It's a marathon. I get tired. I get cranky. And my wife, she, God bless her, she is the biggest supporter that I have. And she's like, you have to do this. You have to get your message out. You have to continue to do this. Because she personally, when I get back to that whole depression and anxiety thing that we talked about a few minutes ago, she personally has seen the change so much in me in regards to my own mental state that she likes it better when I am doing this. And I think, you know, on a selfish note for her, I think she likes it because I'm home every night. You know, I'm not out with the boys watching a football game or a hockey game or something along those lines.
Yeah, that does make a difference when your drug is radio. And I've referred to it that way plenty of times with other hosts because it is. It's costly and it takes a lot of time, but it keeps you home at least, so...
Yeah, and you know what? I think you bring up a big point. For the people who do this, whether it's your show, which is once a week, or whether it's my show, which is five nights a week, you know, people don't really understand the time and the commitment that it takes to broadcast. And, you know, some shows, let's face it, they're going to be duds. Not everyone is going to be an A-plus performance. Sometimes you're going to be off. Sometimes the guest is going to be off. And I think, you know, as a host, that is probably one of the biggest issues I had. I remember about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I was getting absolutely carved up in a Facebook chat group and saying all this stuff about my show. And when I asked them, I said, have you listened to my show? Not one of them could answer. not one of them could answer that. And, you know, I think that's the ugly side of this realm of paranormal, supernatural, is that you have the line of skeptics who don't believe anything, and all they do is yell the word proof. That's their answer to everything. Give me proof. Give me proof. And then you have the people who are genuine, who are out there because they don't know where else to turn. Then you have the know-it-alls who know absolutely everything. Then you have the group who just doesn't care because no matter what happens, their opinion is right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can't prove it to some, and you can't disprove it to others. And that's actually what me and Jamie were talking about before the show, about the, what did he reference there, the Backyard Paranormal Guide. I would get it right if I could read my own writing, but, you know, I kind of scribbled that in the margin because I already had a bunch of stuff wrote on the notes.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I'm there too, my friend. You know, I don't think people fully understand the commitment and, like you said, the finances that it takes to do this. And there's been times when I've honestly wanted to walk away because of criticism or that where people don't know you and they're sitting there trying to critique, you know, your stories, they're trying to critique your experiences, or they're ripping into your guests. And one of the attitudes that we have on Spaced Out Radio that has worked out very well for us, Jim, is we have a very simple motto. We believe everybody. Because in the end, Jim, I have never stood in your shoes. You have never stood in mine. Your audience, some of them who don't even know me, have never stood in my shoes. I've never stood in theirs. So who am I to say that they are wrong? And mine, because I host a show, is right, or vice versa. The fact is, everybody is having a different experience. And if we sit there and say, well, all aliens are bad because I got abducted and I had some horrible tests done to me, or Bigfoot is the quintessential missing link to mankind, we don't know that. So how can you sit here and critique my opinion when we're all basing everything on a theory of what experiences people are explaining? And this is about keeping our minds open. And that's why we go with the model, we believe everybody. Is some of it hard to believe? Absolutely. Do I agree or disagree with it? Sometimes. Will I challenge the person on it? Absolutely. That's my job. But in the end, the one thing that we try and have with everybody, as much as we try to believe them, is we give them the respect. Because the one thing that I have learned in my 1 year of doing this, there's not a lot of respect in this community, especially the paranormal. It seems very, very wicked. It seems very chaotic. That's why I try and stay as far away from it as personally possible, because there are so many cutthroat people in this that it really makes it ugly. And what people don't seem to understand is when you're like that and you are fighting to try and mainstream what is happening, whether it's life after death or near-death experiences or alien experiences, when you sit there and critique to the point where you are becoming personal, nobody is going to take us seriously. Nobody whatsoever. I've worked in the mainstream media. I know what it's like to work in a newsroom. Those people are fickle. How do you expect them and the mainstream to take it seriously when here we are sabotaging our own experiencers because their attitude doesn't agree with yours, or their experience doesn't line up with yours? It doesn't make sense to me.
And my guest tonight is Dave Scott. He's setting me up for failure here with his hot take on the paranormal field, because I'm just about ready to say something that I've said on this program before. The paranormal field is a train wreck waiting for a place to happen, and it seems to happen every day. Not only what happens to their believers, but what happens to their... I do agree. There are some people that need called out for their bullshit. Point blank, I will say it. But those are the people that are defrauding people with horrible events, taking money for no apparent reason. Okay, so Dave's a believer. His story is his story. We weren't there. That's fine. Don't rip on that. If you don't believe it, you don't believe it. Move on with your life. Unfriend him. Unlike him. Unfollow him. Don't listen to his show. He won't be hurt. I won't be hurt if you don't listen to my show. I don't wake up every morning saying, damn, Dave Scott didn't listen to my show last night. That's all there is. And if you don't like it, move on. And this whole... Anybody who's listened to this show for quite a while now knows that I don't believe in paranormal unity, and I don't believe in it even more today than I did back when I first started talking about it on this show. I think that it's time for people to wake up and control themselves like professionals, because they all claim they are. Anyways, okay, back to this.
Well, you know what? If I can just add to this,
go for it.
Because you and I agree so much on this. The biggest issues that I have had when it comes to Spaced Out Radio and booking guests, believe it or not, has been in the paranormal field. It's never been in the ufological. People are always asking me, Dave, why are you always getting UFO people on? Why don't you get some paranormal, mix it up? The problem is the people in the paranormal will tell you, yeah, I'm coming on, and then they no-show. And it's difficult to track them down, and it makes it very frustrating when you can't get a hold of that. Right? But I fully agree with you. The biggest problem that this field has, in my opinion, and people will agree with me, people will disagree with me, is the lack of education that goes into the paranormal. I have said it many a times on my show. What does it take to become a professional paranormal investigator? Well, first you have to watch some TV shows. Then you got to go to Walmart or Target and pick up a digital voice recorder and a digital camera.
And black T-shirt.
Exactly. You need your black T-shirt. You need some sort of acronym that stands for rest in peace or scared or ghost or something. So you have to come up with something catchy. You need a Facebook page, a Twitter handle, and boom, you're a professional paranormal investigator. Where is the education in that? Do I believe there is a life after death? Yes, I've had my own experiences that show that. I've never died and come back, but I know people who have. I've also seen spirits and ghosts. Okay, but as much as I have experienced that, I'm nowhere near a professional, and I don't claim to be. It's a hobby when I look at this. And when I see people out there who are claiming to be professionals, claiming to do this, well, show me what you're doing. Show me what you're doing to help people. Because if you truly cared, you would have someone on there who has maybe counseling experience to help people, maybe a psychic intuitive person that you trust and trust their opinion to get that angle. You would need a scientific approach. You would need a lot of different approaches. Not just, we're skeptics and we're going to prove that a place is haunted. Wonderful. You've proven that someone's house is haunted. That's why they called you in there. What are you doing about it? But the lack of education in the field and the only schooling that people are getting are via television shows is dangerous when people who are desperate are putting their trust in your hands.
Yes, and it goes even a step further because I always tell people, I don't care what you believe, but you have to know what you believe. And this, I mean, this goes back even a step further back from where you're at. Some of these people, you know, one week they believe in orbs, I know, horrible example, but the next week they don't. And they don't know why. They just seen one of these Facebook groups ripping somebody apart, so now they just don't believe in them. And they don't know why. They just, hey, somebody else said don't do it, so we don't do it. And it just snowballs from there. And now, and then 2 weeks later, they don't have any idea what they're doing anymore. They're just out having fun, and yeah.
I was having some paranormal experience one night in my house, and I started taking pictures with my iPhone. And I've got this great picture of about 5 or 6 orbs that I accidentally snapped while I was talking to my wife. My finger just happened to hit the button. And I've had the people I've showed that picture to, I've been told I must have sneezed, I must have moved to bring up some dust. I know what I was doing when I was sitting there. So why not just take the situation for what it's worth? You know, if you know me well enough, that, excuse me, that if I'm going to be BSing you or not. So we have to be able to help people because in the end, this is about helping people. If you want the TV show and you're only there for the TV show or the chance at a pilot, never mind the TV show, the chance at a pilot, to me, you're in it for the wrong reason. There are too many people getting hurt in this because too many people are doing this for all the wrong reasons, and it's causing enough friction that there is no way this will ever go mainstream.
Okay, let's play this for you. You've been around this long enough. Well, you've been around this for a year. I've been around this for longer than this, but so let's play it for him. Okay, Dave, we have a team. We get it together. We want to be on TV. Okay? Do all the right things, call the right people, get our pilot shot. How many people end up on TV? You could probably name the shows. There's what? Half a dozen?
Yeah.
And there's
half a dozen.
And there's been another dozen that have made it for a season or two. That's it.
Here's the thing that people don't understand. Okay, and I've worked with enough TV people back in my days of the media where I think I got a pretty good taste of how television works. And I hate to break it to any paranormal investigator out there, but what you bring to the table as an investigator and the proof that you are getting means nothing to the network. Absolutely nothing. Because they've seen it and done it all. What they want is they want a handsome man. They want a good-looking chick who looks good in a tight T-shirt. They want someone who freaks out quite easily, and they want a psychic person out there who can make things come together in a spiritual way. That's how it works. I hate to break your bubble. You can argue with me, but I know how it works.
I'm not going to argue with you. I know the truth, and I've been enlightened with other truth that was off the record, so I'll keep it off the record. But let's just say this, that what you see on TV is not what they want you to see on TV, the people actually doing the shows. It's what they added together.
Yeah.
So
the only thing the network cares about is how can they exploit you to make money? Your results of proving someone is dead or you're going down to the USS Hornet and going to investigate that World War II aircraft carrier like hundreds of different groups have, and you're going to get something different? Come on. You know, like, they're not about you. What they are about is trying to figure out a way that they can exploit you and the interest in the paranormal in order to make money, because it's about them. And right now, the paranormal and ufological are very, very easy subjects to make money on for the networks. So if you're going for the TV show, the chances are you're not going to get it.
I'll tell you the figure. I won't tell you what show it was. Of course, I was told this off the record, but I'm going to share part of it. The whole show was paid $300. Not per episode, mm-hmm. not per person, $300 for mm-hmm. their run, for their one season.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me.
So at least if you want to be on TV, I mean, now you can hang the banner as seen on whatever network, but.
And you know what? The thing is, it also has infiltrated, and you know as well as I do, it's also infiltrated all of these networks that are out there online where you have a good show and people are wanting you to pay to play. Right?
Yeah.
And that's probably, Jim, another topic for another night, I know, because we've talked about that off the air many a times about our frustration with that. So I remember one offer that I got, and I won't mention the name or who it was or the station it is, but they wanted me to pay $1,900 a month in order to broadcast on their station. And they came to me saying, we want you. We want you to be a part. Space Out Radio is great. We have the time slot open. We need a show for that sign. Wonderful. What are you paying me? What do you mean, what are you paying me? Well, you're going to pay us $1,900 a month because our fee is $70 a night, and your show goes 7 days a week if you include the weekend show. So you want me to pay a mortgage payment to you per month, and I get nothing, and I do all the work. And that's the field we work in. I hate to sound cynical because I love this field. I really do. But there's a lot of people, if you don't mind me saying, have to get their heads out of their asses in order to make this legit. When you are charging people to play and give quality time on things and their time and effort are worth money. And if you're not going to do that, if you're going to disrespect people so much, why are you in the field? The sad part about it is, we get back to the education part, because there is a lack of education, a lack of knowledge. Now, everybody and their dog can have a talk show thanks to podcasting, okay? It's watered it down so much, and people are starting to pay that amount. And it's sad that people are being taken advantage of.
For the record, me and Dave will take your $1,900 a month, and we'll help you with your show.
Exactly. I have no problem. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Actually, we'll take less than that. We're negotiable. I couldn't imagine if my budget was $1,900 for the show. Okay.
Well, you know what's funny? You know what's funny, and I apologize for cutting you off. My daytime career, I negotiate contracts for a living. So when I get into a contract talk, when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I want your show for my network. Wonderful. What are you paying me? Oh, no, 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 no. You can buy the time off of us. Hold on a second here. You came to me. let's talk, let's negotiate. Let's see if we can find a happy medium, because I'm bringing you ratings, I'm bringing you people that you haven't had before, I'm bringing you a time slot that has what I feel is an incredible guest list. And, you know, to be slapped in the face like that, I mean, I love doing it. I hate to say it. Maybe it's my own ego, but I love having that conversation with people, as frustrating as it is, because I love being able to put them in their place, because they never know what to say.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, we could have a serious conversation about this. But first, before I forget, let's do this, because I have it over here. I'm actually using my phone tonight as well. Going second screen experience for myself. This is wonderful. Did you vote in my Twitter poll today?
I honestly did not, because I raced home from my daytime office in order to make it here.
Okay, so here's the question. And see, this is where you've got to listen live, because if you're listening to the podcast, this poll is long gone. Would you rather enter to win a free book or a T-shirt? Of course, the T-shirt's free, too.
Oh, I did do that. You know what? I would take the book. And the reason why I would take the book is because there's something really good about delving into a book. I'm not an online reader. I still am an old school kind of guy where I love being able to turn the page and seeing what's on the next page. So I would take the book.
Yeah, I'm working on putting something together. I'm just curious to see. Right now it's 50-50, so that's kind of where I figured it'd be. So that's kind of cool. Hopefully, you know, new year, new ideas, new, you know, whole bunch of stuff, but we'll see. So, hey, if there's an author listening who wants to give their book away, I know a guy who's looking to give some books away. Oh, okay, anyways, back to where we were. here's the problem. I'm going to be up front with you, Dave. I'm going to lay this out here for you. I've been around this internet radio game for almost 5 years now. Good grief, I'm stupid. And I had an epiphany over the summer. I'm sure you realize this. After leaving, getting terminated, well, I guess I was officially suspended before I quit my last network. Because, unfortunately, I look at this like you do, as a business for me, even though it doesn't necessarily generate mad amounts of income. It pays for itself and barely breaks even, which is good. If you're going to suspend me, you know, you got to let me know if I'm doing a show or not. But I'm going to still be doing a show, because I have sponsors lined up if you don't pay attention. And I have listeners. And anyways, here's the problem. I generate traffic for myself. So any traffic I generate and then push to a network isn't beneficial to me, because then those paid sponsor ads on the right side of my page, go check them out, collect them all, and tell them hello from the Maurer Report, don't get seen. They get seen by a net. They go to a network and see that page. So that doesn't help me. So you said you were selfish earlier. Yeah, you've got to be. You've got to protect yourself, because these people who run they're just out collecting content and collecting labor and not necessarily even caring about anything else. There isn't a question in there, just a bold statement or two. So,
I fully agree. And the one thing that is disappointing for me, who, as someone who comes from a professional radio background, is seeing this happen. Because there are a lot of good people out there who mean well, but because they don't have the business acumen and they think, well, I'm going to throw this show together or this station together, that they want to charge people for their time. Last time I checked, when I do a job, I like to get paid for it. And you know what? If Space Out Radio never becomes big, never takes off, never has more than the listenership that I have right now, I'm okay with that. I'm very much okay with that, because in the end, I know that there are listeners out there who have come to me and say, Dave, if I hadn't have found your show and you hadn't made it about the experience, I don't know what I would have done, because I was looking for somebody to help me. And I know we've helped a few people, and in the end, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I a few weeks ago, I left the show with my direct ad like's final thought. Shameless plug there for Mike and his company. Before I actually do it again, what's the legacy about the report? And coming up on that 5-year number, it kind of puts things in perspective for me, because when I started doing the show, I always figured it'd be 6 weeks and I'd quit, or if I made it that, you know. And then I got past the 6 week and I'm like, oh, a year will be cute, and I'll call it a day. And now, approaching that five number sticks out. It didn't nearly bother me with 2 or 3 or 4. 5 is kind of, you know, it's one of those milestone numbers. It changes the Roman numeral, so to speak. And so is it going to be known for great radio? No. Or anything. But there are people out there who understand and who have shared very, I don't want to say intimate moments in their life, but shared things they necessarily wouldn't share with others on this show. I've made some great friendships through the show. So what's the value? What's the legacy? I don't know, but I know that it has changed how I talk to people, how I look at people, how I present myself. So, yeah, it's going to go strong. And Jamie wants to know, is it about making money or getting real evidence out? I have only played EVPs once on this program and probably will never do it again.
Can I answer that for a second to Jamie?
Yeah.
Jamie, it isn't about making money, okay? But what it is it's about watching people on a daily basis get ripped off.
Yes.
Okay? And the only way you can end the line of people getting ripped off is if you start taking the stance that I'm doing something serious here. I'm trying to help people, and I'm putting in a lot of time and effort. Now, if you want to charge me for that time and effort, that's up to you. But I do have the right to say no. And there's too many people taking advantage of that. And the good shows, like the Mallard Report, like Spaced Out Radio, like other ones, are starting to stand up and say, we are not going to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
Because, truthfully, you know this as well as I do, we can do this ourselves. You don't need some network owner. Because, honestly, all the network owner does is has a domain and has a stream, or whatever service they're using. That's it. But that has become readily available to people. Not that it already wasn't before, but now. And you go out and carve your own niche and carve your own name. And at the end of the day, I sleep better now than I have in quite a few years. So,
Absolutely.
Not that I'm being disrespectful to any of the owners, other show hosts I've worked with. I don't want to say they've all been wonderful. I've had a few that I could tell you stories about and get myself in trouble. But overall, it has let, I mean, obviously when I started with no idea who I was or concept or anything, it was good to have other people around. But now, I understand what the product is and I understand where I'm going with it. So it's been, as I hated to say earlier, but the journey has led me to this point. And I don't know, wherever it goes. So Dave, you being professional radio nut, I love that analysis on my part. I know you do a long format show, so it doesn't necessarily apply as well to your show as it does to mine. But I've been answering a lot of questions from other people about this. You'll notice that I don't play ads, but I read them, and they want to know what's the thinking behind it, and they're trying to get inside my head, and I say, well, either do it or don't. I'm not going to explain the thinking to it. And I don't want you to either, but is it, how do I ask this without giving it away? Is it cutting edge, or am I doing something stupid? There we go.
I think you're doing something smart. And the reason why is it shows that you care about your sponsors so much that you are willing to give their promo live. You're going to guarantee that you're going to give their promo live. And when someone is putting out money in advertisements, that's what they want to hear. They want to make sure that their commercials are run. I don't think you really lose out on either way, but there's a little bit more personable, or something a little bit more personable about it when you're reading the live ad.
I guess I'll give you a little insight. I started reading them live after I was on Stitcher one day, and I found myself skipping 30 seconds because I knew how long the ad was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, if I'm doing it, who's to say somebody else isn't doing it over my ads? So if I just interject the 15-second or whatever ad into the show, odds are they're not going to skip that. They're actually going to have to suffer through it. Because I butcher the reads sometimes, and sometimes they go long, so you couldn't just sit here and skip through it. So, anyways, there's the insight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think TV is going to head that way, with product placement and all this other stuff. Because of DVR, I can sit here, I don't watch ads on TV anymore. I mean, I watch them fly by.
Well, and that's what needs to be done. I mean, you have to understand, and the audience will understand, I think, for the most part, that in order to make a show run, that there has to be advertisement. We run a four-minute break at the top and bottom of the hour during our show, and that's three breaks in a two-hour span. And the audience understands that we have to do that because we do have sponsors who have commercials. We also promo other shows that run under the Space Dope Radio banner. But in the end, it's a nice little break that I find. No more than 4 minutes. We're not cutting in every 15 minutes like a lot of other shows are. So the audience is able to get a full grasp for 25, 26 minutes on what is happening during the show. But people will understand if you tell them, and you're honest with them, that, look, this is how we're keeping this thing afloat. This is how we are trying to make this product better. Because in the end, most people, it's like most people who watch sports, they don't understand that, you know, they complain that athletes are getting $5, $10 million a year, and yeah, the numbers are getting outrageous, but they don't understand the physical implications that that takes. The wear and tear on the body, the studying. You take a football quarterback, for instance, he may get to practice at 6 o'clock in the morning. They don't take the field until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Then he's there until 7 because he's got to work out. He's got to make sure the trainers look after him. It's a hard, hard life of a lot of studying. And I didn't realize that until I got into the media game where I mainly covered sports. You know, I thought, okay, you show up for practice, you leave, you go to the game. Like, this can't be that hard. What a great life. But it's physically taxing.
Yeah, and that's
the thing. Physically taxing.
And that's the thing. I don't begrudge anybody the opportunity to make money. Now, when it becomes excessive and you get 18 minutes of commercials per hour or something ridiculous, it starts going, yikes. But anyways, I digress because, I had these notes over here and I realized that I crossed off Spaced Out Radio. That's pretty much all we've done.
What do you want to know? You know, I know this kind of went on its own tangent, but what would you like to know?
Well, I was going to ask you about your favorite, your intertwining of, I guess we did talk some about your paranormal experiences and some of the things you like to talk about, but I was reading your Twitter bio. This is the worst way to prepare for somebody, but it's where I start often because it gives me a kind of a, I'm a Twitter person, first and foremost. Anybody that knows the show knows that. But I love conspiracy theories. So what's your favorite?
My favorite one, I would have to say, is 9/11. I remember about 10 years ago watching the movie Loose Change for the first time. And, you know, I knew people who were in New York that day. And, you know, the experiences that they told me. And I remember sitting in my newsroom. And like I said, I worked in sports and in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I called up Ron DeLorme, who was the Vancouver Canucks director of amateur scouting. And I was asking him about two members of the Los Angeles Kings scouting staff that were on flight number one that hit the tower. And he does this incredible interview with me for 15 minutes. And of course, we put it all on tape and we were looking for the proper soundbite. So I say, hey, Ron, thank you on this really hard day, because we weren't live. We were just, you know, doing an interview on tape. And he goes, Dave, I got to tell you something. I didn't know they were on the flight. And he started breaking, his voice started breaking up. And, you know, I started breaking up because it was a very emotional day. And that was probably the biggest story for me personally about 9/11. And then you start looking at everything else, okay? And the one that stuck out for me before I had seen Loose Change was, how did Tower 7 fall? And then you see the movies, and then you start looking at the evidence. You know, And I'm not so sure now anymore. I'm not going to say that I fully believe that this wasn't a terrorist action by Osama bin Laden and his group, okay? But I'm not going to say that there wasn't something else to this either, okay? That one really stirs it up for me. The other one that does, and I think is the biggest story that the ball was dropped on in world history, happened earlier this year. And for conspiracy theorists, I think this is the biggest one out there. Now, on February 13th, John Podesta sent out an infamous tweet. For people who don't know who John Podesta was, he worked under President Obama. He left President Obama's White House position to go help Hillary Clinton in her Democratic campaign. And he tweets this: "Finally, my biggest failure of 2014, once again not securing the hashtag disclosure of the UFO files. Hashtag the truth is still out there." Now, the reason why I bring that up as the biggest conspiracy theory going right now is how everybody in the media around the world dropped the ball on President Obama's right-hand man saying, aliens are there, and I couldn't get it public. Because he specifically used Stephen Bassett's hashtag disclosure program. And if people don't know who Stephen Bassett is, he runs a group called the Paradigm Research Group, which is about ET and UFO disclosure in Washington. Then he hashtags the truth is still out there. Okay, he basically told people they're there. And when you're trained in the media, okay, here's the rule. Number one, if you hear something, it's a rumor. If you hear it again, it's got legs. If you hear it a third time, you have a story. And here's a gentleman who put the most important tweet, in my opinion, in the world, in world history, the most important tweet to date, and it got swept under the rug.
I was excited to see that.
Absolutely. But where was CNN? Where was ABC? Where was NBC? Where was Fox News? Where were all the media outlets? Where's the New York Times? The only people who drudged this up and continued to hammer on it was the Huffington Post. But nowhere out of the big papers, the Chicago Times, Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the LA Times, none of the big papers picked it up. And to me, when you drop a ball like that, like Podesta did, and basically come out and say, I know they're real, but I couldn't get it past the president to come publicly with it. What you're doing is you're saying to people that it is happening. Wake up. And the media dropped the ball because they aren't worried about reporting facts anymore. The days of Walter Cronkite are over. They're more worried about the size of Kim Kardashian's ass or what Caitlyn Jenner is doing or whatever else than worrying about the biggest story in mankind that was not reported.
So, okay, we're talking about UFOs here, Dave Scott, or real UFOs, not the weather balloon that was shot down over Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago. Actual weather, well, I guess that was a missile defense balloon, excuse me. Well, I want to talk to you about the one over San Francisco a couple, two, 3 weeks ago on Sun. You know, I'm sure you've seen the pictures. What do you think that was?
Yes. I find it very interesting that the United States military would fire a nuclear missile over, what's the population around California in that area? 15, 16 million people?
Somewhere in that neighborhood. A few.
To me, what happens if that missile explodes? They said it was a nuclear missile test. What happens if that nuclear missile explodes over that population?
Well, they have a lot of explaining to do.
I don't buy that for a second that it was a missile. And I may be in the minority there. I'm not trying to put my conspiracy theory, Tom Clancy hat on. I'm not doing that whatsoever. But it's the big thing that I don't understand why they would fire a nuclear missile right over the populace of L.A., which L.A. alone has something like 8.5 million people. You're putting people's lives on the line for a test? I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, I didn't believe it then. And I mean, the more you think about it, the more it doesn't make sense to me. Now, am I like you, again, exactly right on these topics? No. But they have all these Area 51 where they're taking more people's property out there by Area 51. So, yeah. So it's just shoot it over a major metro city. And hope nobody notices with their camera phones anymore.
Oh, I know that. I know that. The problem is people don't know what to believe anymore, and that's the hard part. And it's sad in reality because the media is supposed to be there to hold not only the people accountable, but the courts accountable, the police accountable, and the government accountable. But who is holding the media accountable when they are dropping the ball on that and just accepting whatever is said? That's the sad part.
Well, I think that's the place of us now. I mean, not necessarily even us, but us as a whole, as internet people, podcasters, internet radio people, while we're still kind of shifting through trying to figure out who's who and what's what, I think in the next 10 years, I mean, Alex Jones has established himself as, well, whatever he's established himself as that. And more of those, I don't want to say those types because that doesn't sound good, but more people will become established in that line where that people will know if you are interested in this or you believe, you know, it all comes down to point of view, what you want to hear and who you want to hear it from. I mean, obviously Fox and CNN, so.
Absolutely, but the problem with that is now, because we have the mainstream media so far off, say, to the left, now, to the extreme of Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura and other people like that, we're going everything to the right. Where, let's say, the terrorist attack in Paris, within 10 minutes, if you were on Facebook within 10 minutes of that incident happening, there was a group of people calling, well, this is another false flag. This is another false flag. You know, I don't buy that. There has to be some reality here. Not everything is a false flag. Not everything is black and white. Okay? Not everything is a lie. And you have to be able to open your mind. But the media has caused that. Okay? The mainstream media has caused that because they're refusing to do their job, which is journalism. And that's sad.
Yeah, I agree that it seems that there are too many camps, far left, far right, and then you look at the middle, it seems like the Grand Canyon at times. You can't find a reliable, well, you mentioned Walter Cronkite, I mean, we can go there, Larry King, whichever name, wherever you want to go with that, however you want to look at that, opinion, voice of reason, there we go, that sounds about right. So,
absolutely.
As we're running out of time rapidly, as I figured we would, as the fastest hour in paranormal does at times, you've been at this for over a year now? At a year? What's the number again?
No. On November 30th, next Monday, it'll be 1 year exactly.
Okay, so close enough to a year. You've interviewed a lot of people, but obviously there's people left to go. Who is number one on the list that you want to interview that you haven't interviewed?
I would like to get Bob Lazar. But he has stopped doing interviews. He's the gentleman who broke the Area 51 code and started speaking about it. But more importantly, I like it's not about famous people, you know. It's more about the experiencers that I like in regards to it, people who are having real-time experiences. But if there was someone I'd really like to get on the show right now, people may know who this is, a gentleman named Tom DeLonge. He's the former lead singer of Blink 182. He has been very, very stalwart in trying to uncover the UFO phenomena. He's doing a lot of work with that. We're we're trying really hard to get him right now. And, you know, hopefully one day we get him on the show. So that would probably be it, because it's an interesting career when you mix rock and roll with UFOs.
Yeah, I think he'd have an interesting story. I mean, let alone the paranormal. I think he'd have an interesting story to tell, just with the rock and roll lifestyle. Go ahead. What do you got on tonight? I mean, I guess this is my
tonight. Tonight I have a whistleblower who has just come out. His name is Dan McBallin. He's a former Air Force personnel, and he spent time at Area 51. He spent time with CERN, and he got so sick and tired of seeing the public living one way while the government does another way. He's finally decided to come out. We're going to be his second or third interview that he's ever done in public, and he's agreed to come on our show. So I'm really excited to have him on tonight.
And what time and where at again?
We start at 10 p.m. Pacific. That would be 1 a.m. Eastern time. If you can't keep your eyes open for that, you can always go to spacedoutradio.com tomorrow and listen to the podcast.
It's a good thing, trust me. we've had this conversation about the different... I mean, but that's what makes the world go around, these different time zones and all these different things. So someday,
absolutely.
Someday we'll have to have you back on and actually talk like ghosts and demons and Ouija board and, you know, a whole bunch of other...
Would love to. Would love to. And Jim, what I would like to do with you one day is I'd like to bring you onto a panel, because one of the things I would like to do on my show one night is have a bunch of us media people get together and really discuss where the media is going when it comes to the paranormal, supernatural. I think that would be a great show.
Well, let me know ahead of time and we'll figure it out. Because
I can't
stay up that late. I just need to know ahead of time so I can take a nap. I'm getting old.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling. My bedtime is about 2 a.m. every night.
Oh, man. Mine is... I'm lucky to make 12:30 anymore, so I never... But anyway. Oh, here we go. Running out of time. That's good. I like running out of time. I want to thank Dave Scott for joining me. Check out Spaced Out Radio. A good friend of the program. Just a good friend, first and foremost. I guess I shouldn't lie to you all. I wasn't really lying, but... Spaced Out Radio. Okay, tonight's Direct Ad Links, Direct Tech. Visit directadlinks.com. He's working on it. He's actually hopefully getting close to being done with the new website. But my direct take for the night is, no matter how far you've come, this is kind of based off what we were talking about earlier, especially within the paranormal, there's more to learn, there's more to know, there's more to gain. And it's not always necessarily in your wallet or in your paycheck or other things, but making connections with others that have information that you may not have, that you may not be able to find in a book, is a good thing. So take the time, listen to shows, talk to people, and just learn and network and communicate. And guess what? If you stop hating on people and start enjoying people, life will be... I know this is going to sound hard to believe, folks, but life will be a little bit more enjoyable. You might want to try it sometime. Enjoying life before it ends, because, you know, everybody loves to run out to these cemeteries, but what they don't realize is that little dash between those numbers is how long the person lived, and that little dash doesn't tell the story, so you have to tell your own story while you're alive. Okay. Be sure to visit tmr247.com.net, whichever way you want to go. New chat room. I hope everybody enjoyed the new chat room again this week. I enjoyed it. Be sure to check out the Twitter polls running. I'm trying to run them every day. Pin them right to the top of the Twitter at TMR247 on Twitter. Retweet, share, have a good time. If you got any questions, that's a good way to get a hold of me as well. All right, everybody. Let's get out of here before I get in trouble.
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The Paranormal Talk Radio Show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what life's been
italkparanormal.com. Good night.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadio.com.